We're talking today with Dr. Frank Mittler from UC Davis. Frank, you know, you obviously have continued to look at these numbers and massage these numbers in the aftermath of the UN report from 2006. As you've gone and looked at the global numbers versus the U.S. numbers, it seems like, if anything, the U.S. numbers continue to look even more impressive.
Well, the U.S. numbers for greenhouse gases per unit of production are just about the lowest you can get. And the reason for that is that we have learned to use all these efficiencies. So we can build, or we can produce, the largest amount of product with the fewest inputs, and that's what drives environmental impact. And in that respect, we are probably one of the world's leaders.
Now, you know, how basically, you were saying there were several things, several factors that have led to our ability to reduce our greenhouse emissions in our livestock industry.
Yeah, we have learned to optimize our genetics. We have optimized the nutrition. We have taken care of animal health, for example, reducing parasite load per animal. We are feeding energy-dense diets, and that is also reducing greenhouse gases per steer or cow. And all of that is a concert that plays this piece of reducing environmental impact.
Now, one of the real buzz things or buzzwords going on right now is local. And it seems like we've got so many people saying, you know, well, local is so much better for the environment, so much better carbon footprint, all of that type. Is that really the case?
From an environmental standpoint, local doesn't matter at all, because the transportation part of the livestock sector is one of the smallest of the total life cycle value chain. So local versus not local will have a very, very small impact, if any. If you buy local, then you do that because you want to buy something from the farmer, you know, or the rancher, you know. But from a carbon footprint standpoint, it is inconsequential.
In a lot of cases, you may have a lot better or more efficient operation, but 1,000 miles away as opposed to 50.
That's exactly right.
But one thing that you mentioned right at the tail end of your presentation today was the fact that the United Nations has gone back and kind of looked at this whole thing and reassessed a little bit, perhaps, what the bottom line conclusions really are.
Yeah, their first report was a very overview type of report, where they looked for one number for the whole world, for all species. They understand that there are big differences across animal species. Let's say pigs are totally different from ruminant animals. Mm-hmm. And they also have learned to appreciate that there are huge differences across regions in the world. For example, you can't compare the United States to Ethiopia or to Paraguay. There are huge differences regionally with respect to carbon footprint and environmental footprint of livestock in these countries. And so now they are breaking this global sector apart and into its individual components by animal species and by region, and that's the way to go.
You're indicating that they're actually acknowledging that a more concentrated form of livestock production makes sense from a greenhouse emission point of view.
Yes, intensification is the key to mitigation. That's the new motto.
And does that amaze you?
Yes.
That they're saying this, they're willing to say this?
Well, it makes perfect sense, but I'm pleased to hear that because that's the truth.
For our livestock producers in the United States, what is the message we need to be communicating to our consumers in this country and to really, you know, help them understand and get to a point of being comfortable with this particular reality?
I think what livestock producers have to understand is that the consumer has a right to know where their food comes from, and more consumers are asking where their food comes from. Farmers need to stop being private, and they need to start to engage the public and tell their story. Tell them how they are growing their beef or their dairy or whatever they grow. And if they don't do it, then the other side will have a very easy game in portraying the livestock sector as a sector that wants to hide something, that has agendas that are not animal-friendly, not environmentally friendly, and so on. In my opinion, the livestock sector has a lot to offer, a lot to share, and they should.
You're saying the environmental story is very positive, right?
Of course, not the entire environmental story. There are bad players, but by and large, I would say that farmers have a critical interest in being stewards of the land, because that's their resource. That's what they're living off. Okay, if you don't treat your land right, you will not grow sufficient crops or pastures, and therefore your animals will suffer. Who wants that?
Where do you go with this type of research? What do you see still left undone that you'd like to tie together?
It's not that there's something left undone. It is that we have just started working on it. There are people with massive agendas, and in many cases, there is no data to combat any of those accusations. We have to do a much better job in organizing the research portfolio and finding data that are defensible and that inform public policy. Currently, public policy is not informed by data, but by emotions.